Hello and welcome to the Fishing Guide Podcast. I'm your host, Brad Weekman. In the house, Travis Fox. He has a long history of fishing in Major League Fishing and being successful. And so, not to bore everyone, so I'll just hit the highlights here. Started co-angling, had your first win in 2002 on Table Rock Lake. Mm-hmm. I don't know how much you caught, probably 50 pounds, knowing you. And then Lake of the Ozarks, you won the Toyota Series in 2005.
Yeah.
Wow. That was a long time ago. And then that sets us forward 10 years, and all of a sudden, ka-ching, you're back, and you win the Toyota Series in 2025. Doesn't get any better than to have Travis Fox in the house.
Well, I don't know. It could probably be a lot better for you, but hey, it's good for me, Brad. Thank you for having me.
Tell us, it's been like... You're still out there fishing. You're fishing a lot of local stuff, and yeah. You're still fishing some of the Toyota Series and stuff. And everyone misses you. You need to come back, maybe more.
Yeah, I've got
things change though, don't they?
I've got a good sponsor that he's always next year's your year, bud. Next year's your year, and he's really rooting for me. And of course, anybody that knows me and my fishing career knows my mom is by far my number one fan, and she's.
Yep.
I think whenever I stepped back from the FLW tour, it probably hurt her more than it hurt me, you know, because she eats it up and loves it now. But who knows? Like you said, there's a thing called life that we get into. And, you know, with responsibilities, unfortunately, you have to make a decision. And I've got two beautiful girls, a wonderful wife, and a great career. And so I had to kind of look at where this thing's going. I'm very competitive by nature, and unfortunately, I will put fishing before a lot of things that are more important. And so it took me mentally a big decision to kind of take a step back. But hey, you know what? I'm still here. I'm still having fun and fishing as much as I can.
Right. And winning, which is important
Every once in a while, I'll find an acorn, if you will.
We need to know forward-facing technology because you are an old-school fisherman, according to my notes here,
okay.
And now we are in this next generation, younger kids. Can I say you're older? Older than what you were in 2005.
Hey, look, it's all salt and pepper here. It won't be too long until till I'm all salt and no pepper, so I'm definitely getting older.
Tell us about it. What do you think about it?
About you'd getting like old?
No.
About fishing.
About forward-facing technology.
You know?
Thumbs up, thumbs down, don't care, just going fishing.
I'm indifferent. You know, I guess I'm 51% for it and 49% not. I say 51% because it's invigorating. It brings new freshness. One of my team trail partners out here, you know, he's running an older boat, an older equipment, whatever. He bought forward-facing sonar, and now he can't stand not to go out there and have fun. It's lethal on these crappie out here. I'm horrible at forward-facing sonar. These young guys that, you know, can run a computer program and this and that in and out, they're beating some of us old turkeys because they're really good at it. But, you know, my deal is you got to learn to adapt. And it's no different than whenever XYZ lure come out or somebody had colored graphs or graphs instead of a paper graph or who knows what tomorrow's going to bring in technology, but you better learn to adapt or you're going to get left in the dust.
Right. And so we had talked earlier, and we're going to throw this out. We had talked about Murray Lewis.
Oh, yeah.
And how he and we have a lot of people that listen and watch his show in Northwest Arkansas and know about Murray, and so tell us a story that you have about Murray. If you had to explain Murray Lewis to someone, if you ever were on Beaver Lake and you drove down Beaver Lake and you were in the river arms and you saw a bass cat, that was Murray. He was out there fishing and catching, not just fishing. Dude was catching.
Yeah. I do a lot of fishing. He did a lot of catching. How long we got? Because I could bend your ear with awesome stories, and we could laugh out loud for sure.
When was the first time you outfished him? Do you remember the first time that you caught more fish?
I remember the very first tournament he took me to, and I remember the very first keeper I caught was a 12 1/8-inch spotted bass, and I was walking in high cotton. We won that night, and we failed the polygraph. I failed the polygraph. It was my very first tournament ever, and he said, "Travis, go take the polygraph," and I failed.
Probably because your heart was about ready to come through your chest. So, weren't you excited?
You know, back in the days, I was what you call maybe a little bit of a hellion, if you will.
Right.
And, you know, I was 19, 20 years old, and a friend had a fake ID, and he went and bought some beers, and we drank them the night before. And I took this polygraph test after winning, and the guy said, "You failed." And I said, "It's impossible. There's no way I failed." And I felt like I let my good friend Murray down. But I failed because when he asked me that, I thought, "Oh, my goodness, what if one of those beers was still in my system the next day?" And I went bloop. So that tells you how accurate they are. But, you know, I've tried to clean up my act since then. Don't condone underage drinking. But, you know, back in the old days, I guess, you know, we've all committed some sins, and I did, and almost lost my first tournament that I won because of that. So that's one Murray story, but I could go on and how he taught me how.
Was that the Ozark Bass Anglers? Ozark?
No.
OBBA?
He fished that, but this was just a local Tuesday night jackpot, you know.
Yeah.
Back when they were really, really, really fun. You remember some of those days out here. They were a good time. But yeah, he was a good one, a dandy.
Yeah, and so you have a lot of history even in the stores. So you worked at Southtown Sporting Goods up there with Larry. Larry was on the show a couple weeks ago, and then I got two shows out of him because he's so knowledgeable. I'm like, he just keeps going. I'm like, well, we have to cut this a little short, Larry, only 30 minutes. And so
there's a lot to be learned in life and in fisheries from Larry Agus. He's a dandy as well.
So when you were working in the store, were you also learning at that point? How old were you?
He hired me. I think I was 17.
Oh, 17. Mm-hmm. How many years did you work there?
Right at 9 years. Yeah.
9 years?
Yeah.
I did not realize that.
Yeah, he actually kicked me out of the store. Said, "Travis, you've got a college education. You're one of the smartest boys I've met. I graduated with a 4.0 and I was going to work at Southtown for the rest of my life because it was the funnest job a young man could ever have." And he said, "You're worth too much. We got to find you another job." And I said, "Well, Larry, I want to stay working here." And he said, I can't pay you what you're worth." And he literally went out and found me a job as a sales rep. So,
wow.
Pretty cool story there, you know?
Yeah. And so was Frank working there at that time?
Yeah, we had two Franks. We had Frank Ralph and we had Frank Divis.
Frank Divis.
Yeah, brings back a lot of memories. So I got to be around a lot of good company growing up, you know. I had a single mom growing up and did the typical little redneck boy thing, went and waited in fish creeks and this and that. And Murray took me. I remember getting my first bait caster and him taking me out night fishing. That was a blast. And Frank Divis helped me out some along the ways. And Larry always gave me intuition. So I had a lot of help growing up. Had to learn a lot on my own, but also was in good company.
Right. And so traveling. So you did a lot of traveling because you had a lot of second places. I didn't want to bring them up.
Yeah,
because there was a kind of a long list of these second places where I know I would be standing. Of course, your mom's your biggest fan, but I was your biggest fan in the outdoor riding world. Mm-hmm. I'd be like, "Oh, this is going to be gold!" Like when he wins, you know, I'm going to get the story because, you know, hometown boy, and I could write about it. So. Yeah.
Well, I think that I shoulda, woulda, coulda. Probably 10 or 12 times at this point. I couldn't close the deal for whatever. And you know what? I don't know if I'd have closed the deal on this one if I'd have been leading. So I didn't think that I had a chance to win. I knew the locals up there were just going to kick my teeth in. And, you know, I was just fishing for a top 10 finish. And it turned out that the cards were in my favor and I fished consistently. And that's what it took. I was very fortunate.
You didn't lose any fish then in the tournament.
You did. I lost. I lost several big ones. I'm talking big ones. But you know, fishing boat docks, fishing around cables, and that kind of thing happens. And so I knew I had blew it. I, you know, had a really big bag that last day and the very first big, and these fish were setting up in these docks, and there's certain docks that really produce big fish.
Right.
You remember Travis Harriman was on your show.
Yeah.
Before, and he caught the bulk of his weight literally out of one dock, I believe. But there's docks like that for, I wished I could tell you why. Sometimes they're on a point, sometimes they're in a pocket, sometimes they're just down a stinking bank, but there are certain docks that produce these big fish. And I caught a big one in there in practice, took my co-angler. I was fishing out offshore, and he said, can I throw in that dock? I looked at the waypoint, and I went, oh, yeah, because I knew that the good stuff was down on the other end of the dock, and it was the wrong dock. And he made a cast, and I went, uh-oh, and he caught a big one. So I went back in there in the tournament, and very first bite, a lunger just pulls, and I'm like, oh, this is going to be a big, and I set the hook, and it pops. And that fish has the tenacity to come up next to my power pole trolling motor and throw my bait right back at me. And it was a 4 or 5 pounder, you know. And I knew right then I'm done. You can't make those mistakes and still win. But
Right. Somebody
was looking over me that day, and I did. I made it.
Isn't that cool?
That's cool.
So you have a Basscat on your jersey, and so you're running a Basscat. You have a 500 horse, you know, a spare one in your backyard that you've been running. You and Rick go out there racing.
No, you know, I kind of got a 500 horse because I just ordered a new Mercury that got here last week because I'm getting ready to get another boat. So in that aspect, in Arkansas, 250 and 250 is 500. So I kind of do, but no, we can just run one 250s.
Have you ever been in a boat with Rick?
No, I have not. I have been in a boat with some of his compadres. In fact, if anybody remembers Ivan that used to work there, he took the time to take me out as a young man and show me how a boat will handle and do this and that. And
right.
I learned a lot, you know. I haven't been in the boat with Rick. I've been all over with him, but not in the boat.
Yeah. What do you think about getting in the boat with him in a 500 horse? He's going 92 miles an hour, and he's going towards Prairie Creek Marina.
Uh-huh.
All I can think about is there's one wake boat that's out there that's been going around for a half hour, and we're getting ready to sail.
Well, you know, Brad, if I was running 92 miles an hour in a boat with somebody, I'd want it to be Rick, because I think he's capable of handling it.
That's pretty fast.
Yeah.
Yeah, Rick, don't worry. You can call me. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
I'd take my drone. My drone will only do 47.
Yeah, that's
so I can't even keep up with them.
No.
That's crazy.
No.
But that's kind of cool. So now as you're making progress, and you had been fishing before, a lot of people are looking at people that win the tournaments, and they're thinking, how did they get started? What really sparked that interest for Travis to go fishing? Was it a time or a date, or was it like during the summer? What got that going?
Well, so I already spilled the beans. You know, I won the very first tournament I ever fished. And by I won, Murray won it. I caught our first keeper, which he culled very quickly afterwards. But, hey, look, whenever you try anything, if you go play golf and you win your very first time, or you go shoot a shooting round and shooting sports and you win, that gets you interested, right?
Right.
Nobody likes losing. I've lost a whole lot, and I kept going for some reason. But I won that first tournament. Actually wrote a paper about it in high school. You know, went from there to fishing some Tuesday nighters and having some of these guys like Murray and Brad Dime and some of these people that kind of would help me out, because I was working at the sporting goods store and they knew I was trying to make it. I fished many a times down that bank there and my old Bass Tracker and borrowing money to enter a Friday night jackpot and paid my dues, certainly, but slowly started figuring some things out, learning, then come along the BFLs and started fishing as a co-angler doing that, and then had some success there, started fishing the Central Pro-Ams back when they were really going, and, you know, I remember, like, hang up, dial, call, try and get in, hang up, dial, call, you know, those days where it was a waiting list and it was hard to get in, did that, and I actually won a BFL. One of my friends needed a boater or needed a guarantee to get into to Table Rock Lake as a boater. And he said, hey, you know what? I'll pay your entry fee as a boater if you'll be my guarantee, my link to get in. And I thought, well, golly, it's free. All I got to do is drive up there and fish. And fast story, but I ended up finishing third in it purely because Greg Bohannon, of all people, calls me. I'm driving down the lake. I answer the phone, and I look on the graph, and it's just fish everywhere. I ended up going back in the tournament and catching a bunch of three-pound spotted bass and got third. I called Central Pro-Am to sign up as a co-angler the next year, and they said, you're a pro. I ain't a pro. This idiot paid my entry fee. I had no clue what I was doing.
Wow.
I literally was catching 15 pounds a day on a crappie rod because it's the only spinning rod I had in the boat.
Oh, my gosh.
Six-pound line, and I still had no clue what I was doing, and a lot of times I still don't, but that's what pushed me. They said, well, you can't fish unless you sign up as a pro. I did, had some success. Bohannon pushed me a little bit more and said, Travis, you're doing really good in these. Why don't you come fish this and this? And he talked me into it. And he and I joke. Some days I tell him I love him. Some days I tell him I hate him because he got me into this mess, you know. And
right.
When fishing's good, he's my buddy. When it's not, it's like, Greg, why did you talk me into this? I had a lot more fun sitting down here catfishing, you know. But
right.
Overall, it's been a enjoyable roller coaster, if you will.
Yeah, it's what's truly amazing is the number of fishermen that have come out of Northwest Arkansas.
Yeah.
That are fishing or fishing related businesses.
Yeah.
So because it goes back to it goes back to War Eagle spinner baits.
Yeah.
You probably threw some of them.
Yeah.
In your lifetime.
Yeah, one or two.
And Keith Brashears.
Yeah.
And yourself and Bohannon.
Yeah.
And all these people that were Bobby Curtis was one, he was on the Castro team.
Yep.
Carl Swiebeck is over Smurf, if you guys remember him.
Yeah.
He was in Asylum Springs. Mm-hmm. And all just the number of people that have come out of Northwest are fishing related companies. That have come out of here that in this area that have really influenced fishing in itself.
Yeah, it's a beautiful place to live. I know you live here for a reason. I like Northwest Arkansas. You know, I spent, 8 years traveling and fishing the tour, and I got to go to some great fisheries, not great fisheries. I certainly don't like living here because Beaver Lake's the renowned, wonderful fishery, although it's been good lately.
It's getting good.
The community's good. We don't have crime, per se. We don't have problems, per se. You know, in the winter, I can't wait for summer, and in the summer, I can't wait for winter. It's a good, enjoyable place to live. Here in the Carolinas, and you got to throw in those TVA lakes, Chickamauga, Tennessee, whatnot. But, you know, I'm sure that would get old if you lived over there, too. But it seems like we have a very diverse season. You've got rivers if you want to fish rivers. You've got timber. You've got spotted bass. You've got largemouth. You've got smallmouth. About the only thing we really don't have is a lot of grass vegetation to learn how to fish with. But other than that, this is a really good training ground outside your window here. And I think that a lot of aspiring anglers come out of here for that reason.
Right.
They always say if you can fish Beaver Lake, you can fish anywhere. And I believe it.
That's true. Yeah. And then we have Swebco. If you get bored, you can always go over to Swebco fish.
Yeah. If you like.
You can get in.
Yeah. But I mean, they're just all 4 and 5 and 6 pounders. Who wants to do that all day?
Right. What's your favorite place? What's your favorite reservoir to fish? If you could just go and fish,
okay,
take your kids, take your family, and they're sitting at the Airbnb and relaxing, having some Kool-Aid or, you know, enjoying their day. Mm-hmm. Where would you go? I know where I'd go.
Yeah, well, so let's try and rule out saltwater because that's not even on a level playing field.
Right,
I got a taste of that, and that's like giving drugs to a drug addict. That ain't
fresh water's for drinking,
fresh
saltwater's for fishing.
Yeah, let's, you know, it always was Kentucky Lake because my first top 10 in FLW come from there, and it was, I remember getting on schools of 3-pounders, and it's like, well, they won't do you any good. You got to go find a bigger fish, you know, and I had my very first zero ever, zeroed 2 days in a row, in fact, was on Kentucky Lake, and I didn't go back. That was when the carp thing hit, and I vetoed it, and I decided Chickamauga was my favorite.
Oh, all right.
But I tell you what, the past couple of years, I've been going back to Kentucky Lake, and I think I'm in love again.
Oh, yeah. That's such a great place.
She's a dandy.
Sam Rayburn. I love Sam Rayburn. Of course, my friend lives down there.
Yeah.
Brian Branham, and so he guides down there. But I love going down there just because there's grass, and you know, we don't have no grass here. We go down there, and he's like, "Don't you have a frog?" And I got, "I don't have
no."
You have no what use. Am I going to do with that?
Yeah.
Skip it under the trees. Well, okay, that might work one day, but consistently,
every other year, maybe
we don't have grass to fish, so you can't practice.
Yeah,
and so all those lakes that have grass, they're like, if reservoir's got grass, they got bass.
Grass and bass go hand in hand. That's for sure.
That's pretty amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, that takes us to Tackle Time. Tackle Time sponsored by Pico Lures. Of course, Pico Lures is another one of those companies that is now in Northwest Arkansas. Mitch Glenn is the owner. And Pico Lures has a complete line of hard and soft bait. So anything you're looking to go fishing with and catch game fish, you can go to picolures.com. Our other sponsor is B&M Poles. Now, people that like either the trout fish or brim fish or catfish or crappie fish, B&M Poles has a pole that you can use to do that. And, of course, we're getting ready to go in and chase some roamers with this colder water and the crappie cast, the Godwin crappie cast. That's the pole to get for that. That's a pretty special pole for that. But check them out at bnmpoles.com. Now, if they want to find out a little bit about you or if they want to see what you've been doing, you have social media, or you just kind of hanging back and letting things roll.
I'm on social media. Just, I don't have a fishing webpage. Some of the sponsors have kind of pushed me to, but the problem is I've got so many friends and family and fans that know that I don't have a professional page that I just run my own page. And so, I guess I'm just a simple guy.
Hey, your mom is still, I remember going to tournaments and your mom, I'd visit with her because I knew who she was. Yeah. And we'd travel just like you travel, and you're seeing a bunch of different people in a different town, but she would be there. What a great, that in itself is a great story. I mean,
it is, I've often said that she loves literally, truly every single angler that fishes. If you get somebody from Northwest Arkansas, she's going to scream for them just as loud as she'll scream for me. And she wants, I might have a disagreement with this person or that, I'm probably not going to root for them, but my mom, she just too good of a person. She'll root for them. Now she wants her baby boy to catch more fish than her or than them, but she wants them to have the best day of fishing they ever had. She just wants me to have a little bit better, but she supports the industry. She has a blast with it. Her heart is truly into it, and she thinks it's wonderful, and getting to have people that around you, that's pretty cool.
Yep. Well, like I always like to end the show, make sure you keep your hook sharp, your lure's in the water.